The parts of Norway above the Arctic Circle don't get any sunlight for months at a time. Darkness is more than a metaphor there. Yes, Norway is one of the richest countries in the world and was rated the most peaceful country in the world in 2007 by Global Peace Index.
But Norway is also home to black metal, a particularly intense and violent genre of music. You don't just play black metal, you live it. Band members cover their faces in makeup called corpse paint, festoon their leather jackets with huge spikes, adorn their stages with sheep's heads, real sheep's heads. In the 1990s, the black metal scene drew the fury of the rest of Norway when members of the scene burned down several churches and even committed murder. Photographer Peter Best has been to Norway 13 times in the past 7 years, documenting the black metal scene. His huge book of those photos is called True Norwegian Black Metal. It's a work of photography and anthropology. He was in the BPP studios to help us understand the black metal subculture. How did you first encounter this type of music?
Well, as a child, I kind of grew up on more mainstream heavy metal, so I've always been very interested in it. As a young child, never anything this extreme, but I guess through my adolescence, I started reading about these bizarre accounts in Norway of these super extreme heavy metal musicians that were taking these satanic ideologies way further than any of their American counterparts. And each article I read seemed more and more fantastical and bizarre, and it started painting this picture in my head of dark Norwegian landscapes and these guys living in the forest and all these sort of kind of way over the top ideas. So I guess in the late 90s, around 2000, I started taking it more seriously and thinking, well, you know, I could actually turn this into a photography project.
Because in the U.S., I don't know what kind of metal you're into, but they would get hauled before Congress every once in a while. And you found out that, for instance, Dee Snider of Twisted Sister is like a really smart, charming guy who essentially was saying, we love the music, but it's more or less a pose. And, you know, I don't know if there was like actual true satanic worship among the people who are known in American metal for worshiping Satan. But in Norway, are they really honestly believe in Satan and really worship him?
Well, that was when I first went over there, that's what I thought. It was either all satanic or Odinist, you know, because, of course, there's a huge influence from old pagan mythology.
Right, because paganism and Christianity have an interplay in Norway, and we see it in the music. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And then their whole reasoning behind all these crimes they committed, you know, they're essentially angry at Christianity for coming in 1,000 years ago and converting them by the sword. So when they burnt down a 900-year-old church, that's their reason behind it, is, you know, some retribution.
And so are there U.S. bands that influence them?
Yeah, I mean, old bands like Slayer, I think, was a big influence. Mm-hmm. But most of their black metal's influences aren't American. There's a Swiss band Celtic Frost from the early 80s. The band before Celtic Frost, which is called Hellhammer, Bathory, which is a Swedish band. So it's these, and Venom, of course, was the first black metal band, an English band. So they were the first to really take this satanic look and lyrical content and really take it way over the top.
How are they perceived in their communities? I mean, they're living this. This is their real life. They are dressed like this all the time? I mean,
No. That's a performance dress. I mean, the face paint is only for stage or photo opportunities.
Okay.
Their regular day-to-day getup, I guess, is like a standard heavy metal leather jacket, black jeans, metal shirt, long hair, like any metal guy that we've all seen 100 times.
Okay, so they're not walking around with big, you know, spiked collars?
During the day. I mean, okay. A lot of these guys have day jobs of kindergarten teachers or these... another thing I found very interesting that... The education levels were way higher among these guys than I expected, and way higher than their American counterparts. A lot of them have masters in philosophy and religion, and they're incredibly civilized and mild-mannered and well-spoken and friendly. I mean, they just...
They don't look friendly. I got to be honest
with
you. They don't look so friendly.
Friendly, I think, in the right context. I mean, not just like... You know,
not outgoing. Did you wind up liking?
Genuine.
Did you wind up liking any of them?
Yes. Yeah. I established friendships with a handful of them that I'm still in touch with. Actually,
mm-hmm. Could you put into words, apart from what we just hear, but what are the musical differences between black metal, what we would call death metal, and, you know, even some of the harder genres of heavy metal?
Yeah, I'd say black metal has a much more raw and cold feeling. Death metal is much more low pitch, growling vocals. You know, low pitch vocals. this isn't always true, but black metal usually has higher pitch vocals. There also sometimes can be a symphonic element to black metal, which adds to the eerie quality, sometimes with synthesizers, although a lot of these older bands are completely against synthesizers, and they just want it to reflect the kind of a raw, cold, isolated, depressive, lonely feeling, I guess is the best way to describe it.
Peter, what are the shows like?
Well, the one show that I have the most photographs in here was from a Gorgoroth performance in Krakow from 2004. It was being filmed for a DVD, and they had 120 freshly decapitated sheep's heads on stage. They had four naked models, two boys and two girls, covered from head to toe in cow's blood with hoods over their heads hanging from crosses on stage, you know, barbed wire over the front of the stage. It just reeked like death, and it was just a real, like, display of blasphemy. I think that's the point. And that is kind of an extreme example. But the Pope apparently commented on it, and they were charged with some religious offense, criminal charge. But they were already out of Poland once it really hit the fan. So there was no real consequences, except that the footage was never released. And these are really the only photos that exist from it.
Wow. And when you go to a show, do you have to dress the part to some extent?
No. I stick out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, we should point out you are kind of a clean-cut guy.
There's the girl getting painted in cow's blood.
Yeah. What are these shacks? Some are standing.
That house is the guy on the right there, Gaul. That is his house, yeah. I stayed there for about a week and on the west coast of Norway, about an hour from any town. He lives in a valley named after his family. They've lived there for a dozen generations. And down the dirt road, his parents live. And a couple blocks the other direction, his aunt and uncle live. So it's all family members living in this valley. And he's probably one of the most infamous men in Norway. Definitely the most infamous musician in Norway.
Peter, I'm sorry, but did you ever have nightmares? I mean, did this scar you in any way?
No, you know, going over there, I had no idea what I was in for. And the first time I went to go stay for a number of days at Gaul's house, I must admit I was a little bit nervous. But
I guess there are no Motel 6s, but to stay at Gaul's house?
Yeah. But it would turn out to be a great experience and some of the most, you know, one of the most peaceful weeks I've ever spent, you know, coming from New York City and going out there where it was, you know, raining for 75 days in a row. We were in the mountains. I went on hikes up the mountains and it was breathtaking.
So he was a real sweetheart to you.
Yeah, sweetheart's probably the wrong word, but he's very respectful, very quiet and just very thoughtful, intelligent guy.
So he had some, well, not rules, but there was a way that it was clear that you needed to comport yourself around him. He wanted to be taken seriously and to be respected.
I think he liked my attitude and therefore he gave me what I wanted. But he usually is he's infamous for being really disagreeable in interviews, one word answers, and just not being very friendly. But for some reason, you know, he opened up to me.
Why do you think these guys get so angry? Do they come from an oppressed part of society? Is it anything psychological?
I mean, life in Norway is pretty easy, right?
It's
like it's
good,
some
yeah.
of the world's lowest yeah. unemployment rates.
There's
and
high
there's
depression,
no crime.
But yeah.
It's
I
dark
mean,
a lot.
Yeah. It's dark, yeah. And also, until recently, everybody was born into the national church.
Right.
So there's like an element of you know, you're forced into religion to a certain extent, although many people don't actually go to church. You belong on paper. But that's recently been changed. So other than that, I mean, it's upper middle class kids that are relatively well-to-do that are, you know, it's their form of rebellion. And also another point that I think is important to make is that there's very little separation between church and state in Norway. So when one rebels against the state, you know, the church is like a real obvious target.
You know, the way this book is presented, tons of photos of guys in their regalia and their face paints, then photographs of guys against the harsh landscape and sometimes against the beautiful landscape, and you have photos of fans. And it's sort of just left there for the reader to find, and I almost felt like I was putting together a puzzle, or it was almost like I was an anthropologist or something. I got a document. I couldn't really figure out the full picture. Now, was that the effect you were going for?
Yes, because there's been books written about black metal. There's films being made about black metal, and there's thousands of websites that tell these stories over and over again. And so we didn't really feel it was necessary to retell all these stories. Sure, there's bits and pieces told throughout the text and throughout the interviews and in the photos, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we really wanted to keep it open for the viewer to make their own interpretation.
When you asked these guys to pose, were you blown away by just the possibilities of the landscapes and the backgrounds that you had to choose from in order as a photographer?
Yeah, it's perfect. I mean, it's a photographer's dream come true. Not only the landscapes, but the way they look with the the way some of them present themselves with the makeup and spikes and so on, which, of course, is really fun to photograph. And then that with the beautiful Norwegian landscapes is, you know, the possibilities are endless.
All right. Well, Peter Best has put together this book whose spine you hear cracking because it's how many pages?
208 pages.
208. What's the dimension of each finely bound page?
11 and a quarter by 14 and a quarter. So it's a little hardback.
It's a beautiful book about a terrifying but, more importantly, very interesting subject.
Well photographed. They're really
well photographed.
Provocative photos.
True Norwegian Black Metal, photographed by Peter Best. Thanks, Peter.
Thank you.
And you can check out a slideshow of some of Peter Best's photos on our website. Go to npr.org/Bryant Park.
And no reflection on the interview. Great conversation. It's a great book. But you know what, Jacob? I need a palate cleanser.